This week's message is called Bucket List. Bucket List. How many of you know what a bucket list is? Okay, most of you nodding your head or raising your hands, yeah. Merriam-Webster says that it's a list of things that one has not done but wants to do before dying, before kicking the bucket. I still remember the first movie that I ever saw that had Kick the Bucket in it. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Any of you remember that old movie? Jimmy Durante has had an accident. He kicks the bucket in the opening part of that movie. I still remember that. How many of you think you have a bucket list, maybe? Kind of do? Okay. I'm going to mess with you today. If you got one, I might ruin your bucket list. I had this weird thing happen because I haven't had a bucket list. I just haven't. And I've never really thought that much about it. But the other day I had lunch with a Christian businessman. I don't know whether you're aware, but we have the founder of something called Abundant TV right here living in Defiance. His name's Rob Patz. And he's involved with DC TV now, but he also has an online thing called Abundant TV, and it's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's Christian programming, and it's interesting. Rob is married to Kristen Stanton, her legal name for her legalese, because she's a lawyer. She does that kind of stuff here in town. And Rob and I had an opportunity to meet down at Cabin Fever, and we got to talking. And when we were talking about, you know, my wife somehow came up and I said, well, she's going to retire in a couple of years, I suppose. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. And he goes, well, what you guys going to do then? Are you going to travel? Are you going to do all the stuff you've always wanted to do? And I thought, no. Well, I mean, there's not a list of things that I've always wanted to do. They're just not. I don't know why. My wife might have a list, and I don't know about it. She's not in here to hear this message, and she'll have to catch it up later. By the way, you did all get a link. You can put that on your Facebook page and let people know where we are. They can stream live with us. And then you can always catch these things up later. I always encourage you to catch them up. I've listened to a sermon recently that Bill Johnson did. I listened to it for the third time this morning while I was exercising. So I listen to stuff over and over sometimes because it takes a while to sink in with me, I guess. That's probably the reason. Anyway, I found myself saying that I don't have any things that I want to do before I die. And then I got to thinking, well, yeah, actually I do. And I started to realize that I kind of do have a bucket list. I hadn't thought of it as a bucket list, but I have a bucket list. Because before I die, I want to see more people get healed. I really do. And there are specific healings on my bucket list. See, I have actually seen deaf ears opened. I've actually seen the lame walk. But I've never prayed for someone who is in a wheelchair and gotten them out of a wheelchair. I'd like to do that. I would like to see blind eyes open. And I would like to see the dead raised. Those are on my bucket list. And they have been for a long time now. I think about them a lot. I think, you know, those are the things that I want to see God use me to do. I suppose it would be nice to go someplace cool. There are some cool places to go. My parents really wanted to go to England. My mom really wanted to go to England. And they went and they saw Big Ben and, you know, saw England and did a little bit of that. And whatever. I know what a clock looks like. Not a big deal. It's never really been a goal of Lisa and I. Our big goal seems to happen, you know, every week. We want to see our grandkids and we try to find a way to do that. That seems to be the big thing on my want to do list, I suppose. And Lisa and I have pretty much everything we want. It's getting harder on birthdays to surprise her or do anything. And her birthday comes the day after Valentine's Day. So this year I got her some little black cat earrings because we have two black cats. And she loved that. By the way, the earrings cost me about the same amount as a card nowadays. Boy, are cards expensive. Holy cow. And they were delivered. It's great. Came on her birthday. I did surprise her, but it wasn't my surprise. We bought a couple of recliners, and they showed up on her birthday. And so she walks in the house. I was hoping to be there when she walked in, and I got tied up. But, you know, she walks in the house. Oh, look, the recliners are here. Yay. Happy birthday. That was about it. You know, we ate some food we probably shouldn't eat. But, you know, stuff like that, it's harder to surprise her or do anything really fancy. We haven't ever traveled a whole lot. It was back in 2013 that we did get to see the Pacific Ocean and the Redwoods. But that was because we were already in California for a conference. And we drove after the conference over the mountains and stayed a night and saw the Redwoods the next day and drove the Pacific Highway south to get back to Sacramento where we, to get on the plane to come home. Not against any of you who love to do that stuff. That's perfectly good. But you know, here's our problem. We grew up in the Hocking Hills. Grand Canyon, whatever. Have you been down to the Old Man's Cave Gorge? I mean, come on, it's gorgeous. I just love where we grew up. That's the prettiest part of the world to me. And so we sneak down there once in a while. We have to see family, and we get Lisa's mom. And so, you know, that's it. I mean, Old Man's Cave is pretty special to me. Rock House. Got to go to Rock House sometime if you haven't been. Pretty neat. So anyway, this bucket list conversation got me to thinking, and if I'm going to see more signs and wonders, I probably need something. And I got to thinking about what I need to see more signs and wonders. If I'm going to see the dead raised and the blind's eyes open, and I might have to focus a little bit more on faith. You think that might help? I do too. I think that might be helpful. So then that brought me to thinking about a faith verse. And there's this faith verse that all of us kind of have heard a lot of times, and I'll ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start with verse 5, and we're going to look at a faith verse. And this faith verse is one of the most encouraging and yet somewhat disturbing verses in the Bible. But it's preached on a lot. Faith preachers preach on this all the time. Luke 17, verse 5, it says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith." Come on. Even the guys walking with Jesus needed a little, you know, tune-up, a little lift. So it's okay for us to need our faith increased. How many think you could have your faith increased? Would it be good? I'd like to increase my faith too. I'd like to see my faith increased. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. That would be a pretty big sign that would make you wonder. But you don't need a lot of faith. That's what's interesting. And so preachers will preach on this a lot and talk about, you know, just having a little bit of faith and just exercising what little bit of faith you've got. And I agree with all that. I'm agreeing with all that. I think that's good. I've heard this portion spoken of over and over and over, spoken on, preached on. And it is the go-to verse for faith preachers, I think. And I'd like to think I'm a faith preacher. But then there's a context with this. And while it's true that it only takes a little bit of faith, I could say, but, and you would all go, but what? Right? If I say, you just need faith is a mustard seed, but, and you'd go, yeah, but what? Now, when someone tells you that and they say that, then you're listening carefully to what happens next. And the next bit of information is important because it helps clarify the first bit of information. So now let's look at verse 7. And I'm going to tell you something about verse 7. Depending on which version you're looking at, it says, and which of you, or in some versions it says, but which of you. So he says, if you got faith, even just a little faith, like a mustard seed size, you can do a mighty miracle. But, you know, sometimes it's funny because I've noticed that faith preachers don't always preach that next little section. They just talk about the mustard seed. And sometimes we need to go a little further. Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the thing that was commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. I haven't heard a lot of preaching that includes this service portion of the just all you need is a little, just a little faith. But this service portion is part of that. The word being translated but or and, right there at the beginning of verse 7, is the Greek word de. And in its grammar, it's called, in grammar terms, it's called a continuative. The idea is that it connects the first thought to the next. So that little mustard seed faith is supposed to be connected to the reality that we are servants. If I really want to see God do amazing things, I need to be a servant. And not just any kind of a servant. I need to be the kind of servant who can walk in after working outside all day in the field and then not think, well, it's time for me to sit down and relax. It's time for me to get a break. Yeah, master, I did all this work for you. Now you take care of me, master. It's the kind of servant who says, what do you need from me next, master? It's the kind of servant who says, whatever you need me to do. And he puts on and does whatever he needs to do, put on and do in order to take care of his master's business. And he's got this attitude. This is a really interesting attitude. I am an unworthy servant. I only did what was my duty to do. Duty. I preach a message called Donkey Duty. Sometimes around the time of the triumphal entry, the Palm Sunday message. Sometimes we feel like we're being sent to do something that doesn't seem all that glamorous, doesn't seem all that great. And in the midst of that, sometimes God's up to something that we didn't expect. How many thought you were going to get a grammar lesson today, by the way? Yeah, not from me, usually. I was not good at that when I was a kid, but my point is that mountain moving is something that you do best from a place of service. If our primary reason for wanting to see God's power move, if our primary purpose for wanting to see his greatness released has something that's based in selfishness, that's going to cause us some trouble. James 4, 2 through 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And then it goes on to say, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. Not about me. It's not about what I want to see happen. It's what God wants to see happen and me lining up with what God wants to see happen so he can see what he wants happen through his people. So then I have to ask myself, Do I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders for me or for my master? Listen, you don't be a pastor for 40-plus years and not maybe have those moments where you're feeling like you're a little bit something special. Oh, isn't he special? That's what most people think. Sometimes you think you're a little special. I am primarily a servant, and I should be a servant looking to do my duty. Or am I interested more in completing my bucket list? Yeah. I want to see these things done. It's me, me, me. I want these things. By the way, the same thing might affect all of our bucket lists, huh? Are these things that are on my bucket list, are they designed to give God glory? Or are they designed to make me happy? Now, don't feel too bad. I'm digging a hole, but I'm coming out of it in a minute. I promise. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life isn't mine. And I have to remind myself that sometimes. My life isn't mine. I don't get to do what I want to do because it's not about what I want to do. So do I now discard my bucket list? I don't think so. But I do my best to sanctify my bucket list. How many of you know what sanctify is? That's right. Set it apart. It is set apart for the purposes of God. My bucket list should be about what God has for my life. And I think there's nothing on my bucket list that I really want if it's not on his bucket list for me. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I'm not telling you you're not going to get to do some of the stuff on your bucket list. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm trying to tell you that maybe some of the stuff on your bucket list is on your bucket list, but it's not the reason you think it's on your bucket list. Yeah. I just really have this desire to go to Israel. By the way, I never desired that either. I know a lot of people want to go to Israel. Oh, I just long to go to Israel. Okay, cool. Why? So I can see it? Maybe, but what if God wants you to do something there? What if God wants you to go there for a reason that you don't want to go there? What if you're supposed to be martyred in Israel? Oh, I'm not sure I want to go now. I might take that off my bucket list. God does want to open up blind eyes. I know this. God still raises the dead. I know this. As a servant of God, it is my obligation to do what he wants done. As a servant of God, it's my duty. So let me say this. And any of you who have ever prayed and seen miracles know this already, I think. One of the most fulfilling things that can ever happen to us as believers is seeing God use us to do something we know we can't do. There is something that happens when something happens that I know wasn't me, but somehow I ended up in the middle of it. The first deaf ear I ever saw open happened because one of the guys in the band Judah was preaching a message on having ears to hear, and he was talking about the metaphor, and seven people in the congregation thought he was talking about literal ears to hear and healing of their ears, and they came forward and we prayed for him. I prayed for a guy that had a grenade go off next to his head in the Vietnam War, and part of his ear was missing, but somehow where that hole was that he couldn't hear out of, he could hear out of it, and I didn't even know what I was doing. I was scared. Wait a minute. I was wanting to pray for ears to hear spiritually, and he comes forward and wants his ear literally healed. And God did. He could hear. It wasn't a new ear, but there was new hearing in his ear. Crazy. And I got to tell you, that felt pretty good. I felt pretty good about that when it was done. I was like, okay. Yeah. And I have to remember at that point, it's not, you wouldn't have even preached that, you doofus. You would have skipped over that completely. If God would have told me, preach and have all the people that are deaf come forward, I would have been like, I was 21 years old, 22 years old, I just a young guy. I saw a Facebook post the other day by a ministry friend, and here's what he had in his post, and it was interesting. He said, the do what makes you happy culture is so toxic for Christians. We are not called to do what makes us happy. We are called to do what glorifies God. Christianity isn't always sunshine and happiness. It's hard work and dedication to Him, not us. Do what glorifies God. Big capital letters. And I appreciated that, but I had a response for that too. I had something to encourage him back with. Are you ready? Because I'm coming out of that hole now. Some of you are like, oh boy, duty, obligation. Man, this is a heavy message today. Oh, Pastor Tim. I got enough going on right now without you saddling me with more. Here's what I wrote. I said, yes, but doing what pleases God is the way to real happiness. We are made to do what He created us for. Nothing else, in capital letters, nothing else could be as fulfilling as that. He who loses his life will find it. Matthew 10:39. I've had those testimonies over the years. My favorite one, I've already said it, I think, twice this year. God said, go to Defiance, and I thought, God's lost his mind. No. God knew better than me. I didn't want to live in flatland, but God knew better than me. I could not have been, I don't think, any happier living anywhere else, doing anything else except what God wanted me to do. I can't imagine being any happier. So what if I told you that with God, obligation can become invitation? In fact, with God, obligation often is invitation. Probably always is invitation. An invitation to what? Well, first, what's an obligation? Back to Merriam-Webster. The constraining power of a promise, contract, law, or sense of duty. So we already had that verse where I am just a servant. I have only done my duty. We have a duty to do those things that God has created us to do. Listen to this. I'm going to read it again. We have a duty to do those things which... Let me say it again. We have a duty to do those things which God has created us to do. But at the same time, there is nothing as fulfilling as doing what God created us to do. Therefore, are you ready? It is our duty to live a fulfilled life. It is our duty to live a fulfilled life. Your responsibility, your obligation is to live a life that is so full and full of everything that God's got that you couldn't possibly be happier doing anything else. And do you know that the more you fulfill your obligation to what God has created you for, the happier you're going to be? This is just a reality. I don't know if this can sink in for everybody who's going to hear me say it, even in this room or maybe later. I just know that the happiest I'm ever going to be is by doing the thing that he gave me to do, because that's the most fulfilling thing that I can ever do. Therefore, my responsibility is to do what fulfills my life. That's what God wants for me. That's what he wants me to do with me. I'm not sure you're getting this. Y'all ought to be happier than you are, I think. But I think that the happiest I can possibly be is doing what he gave me to do, including, by the way, the day could come when they might say, "Preacher, you can't talk like that." And I might say, "Well, I can't not talk like that. The Bible says." And they might say, "Well, if you keep talking like that, we're going to take your head off your shoulder." And I might say, "Right here's a good spot." Anybody ever think martyrdom might be fulfilling? Nope. Nope. Well, it might.
Would you even know?
Depends on how quick they come at you, I guess. I know that I've outlived the Apostle Paul, but I also know that Paul, well, he lost his head over this whole ministry thing. Let me see if I can wrap this up with kind of the secular. Jesus always used, you know, illustrations out of the natural. A lot of them were farm illustrations, kind of, you know. People were agricultural, cultural in his day. But did y'all have a good week last week? I mean, we're into the next week now. The holiday week is over. For my family and I, it was the birthday week, because my wife and I both have birthdays and then Valentine's Day. So it's a big week for us. We always have a lot of fun. And a lot of people were celebrating Valentine's Day, not just us. I'm sure some of you did. And so there was a lot of money spent last week, wasn't there, on Valentine's Day? Maybe you didn't spend as much as some, but some people were really spending the money last week. Some people felt they had to spend the money last week, and probably that wasn't a bad idea. And they felt maybe obligated to get something for their sweetheart. Notice the word obligated. But there were other people who weren't as much obligated, but they just had this desire to go do something for their sweetheart. Just it was on their heart. They just wanted to do it. There wasn't the sense of, I better get her a card or she's going to be mad at me. It was more of a, I want to do something for my sweetheart. So here's a question, and it's probably more true of women than it is men, but if you're receiving something, do you want to feel like the other person is doing it out of obligation, or do you want to think they did it because they wanted to? Yeah. What if we started again, as I mentioned earlier, to see obligation as an invitation? What if God is inviting us into something that looks like a burden on the outside but is full of blessing on the inside? I like this idea a lot. Some of you might feel a little obligated because Pastor keeps sending out the sermon of the week, you know, on a text so you can listen to it again, and you don't want to listen to it again. I mean, I heard that once. That was enough. Ugh. Or maybe you didn't hear it at all. My home church, I consider my home church Bethel Redding. I try to listen to everything that comes out of there that I can, as if I was attending there. Sometimes it's like, I got something else to do right now. And sometimes it's like, hey, here's it. Like I said, early, I listened to one of Bill Johnson's messages from 2022, by the way, the third time this morning. Because he's saying some stuff that's just resonating in my, you know, there's room for it to bounce back and forth up in my, bing, 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 bing. And it's just hitting something with me. I think that sometimes the things we feel obligated to do, God's trying to get us to do them so that he can bless us. And it's not an obligation, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to get more of what God has for us. So the faith to see the greatest miracles grows in the servant's heart. The faith to see the greatest miracles, that little seed, that little mustard seed, grows best in the soil of a servant's heart. So now I have really figured out the number one thing on my bucket list. Are you ready? The number one thing on my bucket list that I want is I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that won't happen until I kick the bucket. Well, maybe it'll happen kind of before then. But eventually, when I kick the bucket, that's when I'm going to find out. Is that what he's going to say? And my new bucket list really only needs one thing on it. One thing. I want to live a life that he can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want. And all that other stuff, by the way, I know some people, their end time theology has the whole world being burnt to a crisp at the end. I'm not quite sure I see it that way. I figure I can see the Grand Canyon after. It'll still be here. I figure anything the Eiffel Tower, but I'd probably see it after. There's a lot of things that I'll be able to do. Oh, and I won't be tired or seasick or jet lagged. I'll be able to do all those things. It'll be perfect. So right now I'm focused. And I feel like the Lord, maybe this message isn't so much for you as it is for me. I do that once in a while. I preach at me. Get focused. We've already been talking about some of that already this year. My bucket list. Now you know what my bucket list is. So you don't have to worry about buying me candy or any of those things. No obligation to do that, although I'll take all I can get. But the reality is I want to sanctify my heart so that he can use me in so many places. And that's why I get excited when some of you come up and talk about being used in an aisle at Walmart or wherever. That's exciting. That's really good. Opportunities are going to come to some of you. Keep your eyes open. And when you have that moment where you suddenly feel like, "Ah, not now, Jesus. That's the best one right there. That's the one. Take it. Take it. Take it." I'm going to pray for you. Father, bless your people. Bless your people really good. Bless them so that they can be those servants who find fulfillment in what looks like an obligation, but was really an invitation. Bless them so that they can see the powerful things that you lay before them. And cause us all, Lord, to be able to pick up those powerful things and see them done. Not because we have great faith, but because we have a little faith, Lord, and we're willing to put it to work. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.